All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
And free, Canada. Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, April 6th, 2014. And some of you are probably wondering, hey, Bill, you're a full-blooded fucking American, right? What are you coming in with this week's podcast singing the Canadian National Anthem? Oh, Canada, we stand. You know why? Because my stupid fucking recorder, for some reason, I got to talk for 30 seconds for it to get the proper levels. So what am I going to do? Huh? You sing a national anthem is what you do. I was singing about the walls in my house. Why do people put shit on the walls? All it does is crack the fucking plaster there. But if you don't have pictures on the wall, people think you have bodies in the basement. Speaking of old Canada, how about those Boston Bruins turning it on when they needed to turn it on? All you fucking fans up there in Ottawa skating down the river on your way to work, what'd you think was going to happen? Did you think that you were going to catch the big bad Bruins? Huh? One of the original six? How dare you, Ottawa? You stand down. You stand down and you watch that river melt. You watch the water run like the tears going down your fucking frostbitten cheeks because you ain't making the playoffs. Playoffs? The fucking playoffs. The Bruins are. And I'm calling it right now. We're going to play the Montreal Canadiens in the first round. And we're game one. We're getting our first win against those fucking silly sock French fucks. Oh, French people love their silly socks and their little pocket squares. Going to the game with their blue blazer. Thinking that they know more than the fucking coach. Those cunts, right? We're beating them in game one. That's what we're doing. What's going to happen in game two? I don't know. I didn't think that far. But if you would like a prediction. I just heard the door slam. I think my wife just woke up. She's pissed at me already. If you would like a prediction, I say that we come out there and we win again. Yep. Then we go down to Boston, right? Oh, shit. We have fucking tickets and none of you. This is fucking a killer. We're going to sweep them. We're not going to sweep them. I don't even know if we're going to fucking get out of the first round. But I can tell you right now, I'll tell you right now, if I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan, I got to be thinking, if I'm playing the fucking Bruins, if you guys fucking lose to us after the season we had, after the domination that you guys fucking had, you can't tell me that's not creeping in the back of your little French fucking brain there, is it? You know, your little wannabe French brain. You're not French. You're Canadian. That's right. You're part of North America. You're attached to us. This obesity, it goes right up over the fucking borders. Right up to your Timmy Hoes with you guys sitting there eating your fucking donuts. What do you think? You're better than us because you got you Canadians, you eat your fucking donuts with your little pinky sticking out? Huh? With your loafers and your no socks? Your little fucking pocket squares, huh? Is that what you think? Well, I'll tell you right now. The playoffs start. I'm going to go total cliche here. Playoffs start. It's a whole new season. Everybody's 0-0. They got nothing to lose. I'll tell you right now, the Bruins, they're playing desperate. I'll tell you, the desperate team was dangerous. Do you guys watch any sports this weekend? Can somebody explain to me how Wisconsin beat Kentucky? Somebody explain to me how a team playing the game of basketball, a team that is whiter than my thighs, somehow beat the Kentucky Wildcats. See that? That's why you can never be prejudiced. You can't be racist because it's always going to prove you wrong. I don't know shit about hoop. I don't know shit about college basketball. I don't know shit about a lot of things. And I sat down to watch that game, and I'm looking at that number 44 in Wisconsin. I'm like, this guy is a mess. Look at him. He looks like he's in a jam band. This guy does not look like a fucking basketball player. And all of a sudden, he's doing all this Kevin McHale stretching around. I don't know. It was a hell of a game. And I've become a Wisconsin fan just because of I told you guys this. A couple guy developed a show with, and I went on tour with Nate Craig, who's a big Wisconsin guy. And so I like those guys, so I root for the team. But, however, I'm also a big Kentucky fan. So it was this weird thing. I didn't know. I love John Calipari. And, hey, John fucking Calipari over there. Let's go down. Let's go over to fucking Calipari's. We'll get a fucking linguine with a little clam sauce, yeah. Yeah, you know, I fucking love Italians, and I love Italian food. So here's this guy. And then I also like how Calipari's a little shady. You know what I mean? How did he turn that program around in Memphis? Somebody explained to me how I never even knew that Memphis even had a school. Forget about a fucking basketball team. The next thing you know, he brings them to the Final Four. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I'm just repeating shit I heard other people say. I'm just repeating shit I heard Bobby Knight bitch about. Huh? That fucking drunk with power maniac. Good Lord. You ever see anybody needs more of a swift kick in the ass than that guy? Jesus Christ, right in his fucking khakis. I hope when they burieth me, they burieth me face down so my critics can kiss my ass. Hey, Bob, whatever you want us to do. That's when he fucking went off the rails. There were some rails, and he went off on people. Speaking of going off the rails, I'd like to commend a certain channel out there right now that is not responding to a bunch of horseshit that's coming their way. That's the exact way you handle this new era of offended over nothing. This guy tweeted something in 1840. I don't know about this. You got to go back 6 fucking years to find something bad that somebody tweeted about. Jesus fucking Christ. Even what do you break out? An old borscht belt joke?
Well, this guy's a fucking show.
You know what I mean? Fucking people. Jesus Christ. Then other comedians getting involved. What the fuck? What is going on? Everybody acting like a bunch of goddamn babies. Fucking grow up. There you go. Bill Burr speaking out vaguely at best. So I didn't do shit last night. Oh, I know I did last night. I got absolutely fucking hammered. Got hammered. When I get drunk, I call the people I love and I leave long rambling messages about how great I think they are. But I'm that guy. So you get mad at me because I call you at 3 in the morning. Then you wake up and you just laugh. Oh, that was nice. That was nice. He was thinking of me. I have one thing in my office that is hanging on the wall, and it's a pit bull calendar. I don't know why. I forget where I got it. Isn't it called For the Love of Pit Bulls? Isn't that what it's called? I think that's what my calendar is called. It's great. You just look at this adorable pit bull for a whole month, right? And then all of a sudden the month changes. Like I just changed it this morning from March to April, and I literally turned the thing, and I just went, no, look at him eating the bone. And I just laughed at myself, how pathetic I am. You know, even my dog, right now, my dog's laying on the floor in its bed. It's got its back to me. It's embarrassed. It's embarrassed by its fucking master. Master. Fucking master. Give me a fucking break. I'm not his thing's master. It's running the goddamn house. shits wherever it wants to, and then I pick it up. I'm the master? I don't think so. Does the master walk around? Huh? Then again, the dog is on a leash. I don't know. Sounds like a bad 80s stand-up bit. Why am I the master? I don't fucking pick up the shit! That's a good fucking character, huh? Filthy Seinfeld. Bad impression of Seinfeld while being completely filthy. I'll work on that. Why, when you put your dick in her ass, does she always scream? Who are these whores? Sorry. I'll go fuck yourself. You fill an hour every week. Anyway, so the Bruins are making the playoffs. I don't even know if they're in yet. I think they're in. I have no idea. We got to play the Capitals tonight. Nobody gives a shit. So whatever. So Wisconsin, the fucking whitest team since the Washington Generals, is playing Duke. All right? The Duke. Sorry. They're playing Duke tonight, and I don't know shit about either team. All I know is that Coach K always seems to fucking win these games. So what do you think's going to happen, huh? Do you think these cheese-eating, yogurt-making, ice cream sandwich scarfing down fat fuck of a state is going to go down? Where are they playing? Are they playing Lucas Oil? You know, it actually annoyed me that they sold it out there at Lucas Oil Field. And I was thinking about Jim Irsay making all that fucking money, you know? And it's just like, what is he going to do now to try to attack the Patriots? Because that fucking jackass can't beat us. Oh, they're cheating. The fucking ball. Oh, you fucking cunt. You're such a cunt. You know, you stole our offense. And then you won a Super Bowl. Isn't that enough for you, Jimmy? Jimmy! So ridiculous. It's the only owner's name that I know. Him and old Bobby Kraft, who made all that money with the cheese, didn't he? Which brings us back to Wisconsin. So anyways, I'm going to watch that game tonight. And I think that's it. I think that's all I got. I don't know what else I'm going to do. I got to stop drinking, dude. I've drank way too much this fucking week. You know? I have nobody. You know what it is? I have nobody to answer to. All right? You can sit there and say that, you know, you're one of these people, right? Oh, I'm one of these people. I just, you know, everything in moderation. Fuck you. Shut your face. All right? You're wearing too much makeup, first of all. And shut your face. Okay? First of all, the reason why you don't drink is because you have a fucking boss, which is like having a parent. All right? So I don't want to fucking hear it. You have somebody to answer to. Anybody can be fucking responsible and not drink when they have a child, when they have a boss, when they have somewhere they have to be the next day. All right? When you really find your willpower and what you're made of is when you have none of those things. When you have no children, you have no boss, you have nobody to answer to. Your wife's cool. You know, you snore, she just sends you into the guest room, right? That's when you find whether or not you're an alcoholic or not. That's when you see if you're really going to pass the fucking test. And I'll tell you right now, old Freckles is failing miserably. Oh, my God. I was drinking. This buddy of mine was fucking leaving town, so we go out and we fucking drink. He's got a buddy of his, and at one point, the guy comes over with, like, I don't know what it was. It was some sort of it was like Red Bull with a Jaeger shot in it. And I have to commend myself for the everybody fucking drank it but me. I was like, I'm drinking scotch over here. I'm not fucking drinking that. Jesus Christ, fucking mouthwash and a monster drink. What the fuck is wrong with you? What are you, homeless? I could literally go out to the dumpster and find something better to get drunk off of. What the fuck? What the Red Bull and a Yay? Whatever the fuck it was. I was giving all of them shit. Like, why don't you just fucking, you know, do a shot of shampoo and some fucking licorice? Is that what you said, Bill? Well, you know, I don't really remember. I don't really remember. I just remember being smart enough not to drive. I don't do Uber, though. I'm old school, man. I get a taxi, but everybody can. I'll do it. I'll fucking Uber you home. It's just weird to me, man. I don't like just getting in a stranger's fucking car, you know, without that fucking partition there. Some sort of writing on the side of the car. You know, a phone number. Somebody you can call when the guy takes out an axe. I don't understand, like, how lazy are serial killers that they can't even fucking muster up? Well, I guess that makes them more. Honestly, they can't even muster up the fucking wherewithal just to become an Uber driver. Why don't you make your life easier? Quit fucking pulling over and dragging people in the car. Why didn't you just become an Uber driver? Just let him get in the fucking car. Why don't you just do that? Is there any checks and balances on that? You just fucking show up and there's a guy, hey, how you doing? Hey, person I don't know with a company that I don't even know what it is. Does it even exist? Is it in the air? Is it a digital company? I don't understand how any of this shit works. Speaking of that, you know what's the dumbest fucking thing I've seen in a while is the fucking iWatch. I really hope that that thing bombs. Are you really going to sit there watching video like you're fucking, you can't figure out what time it is and you're just staring at your wrist? Is that what you're going to do? All those stupid features? I think they're out of ideas over there. That's what happened. Old Steve Jobs died, right? He's not cracking the whip and those scientists over there, they're getting lazy. What are you going to make next, huh? Earrings that you can watch YouTube videos on. It's over. Everything that needs to be invented is invented. And that's why all these scientists are, that's the real reason all these scientists are dying. Have you seen all this shit? Yet another dead scientist, right? Alberto Behar was a robotics expert for NASA at the JPL. And everybody in science knows that that stands for the jerk plane longitude, whatever the fuck it is. He died instantly when his single engine plane nosedived. This fucking scientist. Goddamn scientist, right? Nosedived shortly after takeoff Friday morning from Van Nuys Airport. He worked on two Mars missions and spent years researching how robots work in harsh environments like volcanoes and underwater. Well, I can tell you they work in volcanoes. They'd fucking melt. You had to do research on that? As part of NASA's team exploring Mars with the Curiosity rover. Ugh. Maybe that's why he killed himself. He had to keep... What project are you working on? Just mumbling. Curiosity rover. The what? The Curiosity rover. Awkward silence at the dinner table. And then somebody with a GED starts snickering. Curiosity rover. Let me get, because it's curious. Fucking eggheads, it's the best you can come up with. Behar was responsible for a device that detected hydrogen on the planet's surface as the rover moved curiously over the surface. 47-year-old NASA. You know how fucking old that sounds to me? 47? I'm going to be 47 in June. Does that mean I'm going to die? 47-year-old NASA scientist Alberto Behar helped to prove that there had once been water on Mars, according to the sad Daily Mail. Daily Mail is a credible source. Published to announce his recent death in a plane crash that happened on Friday in Los Angeles, California. While plane crashes do, this is where we go into conspiracy theory right here. While plane crashes do happen, and scientists do die,
do they?
Behar's name has now been added to a very long list of scientists and astronomers who've met their untimely ends prematurely, leading us to ask, did Behar know something that they, in quotes, don't want the rest of society to find out? What the fuck could this guy possibly know? I don't understand what people are saying. Was global warming so overwhelming to him and he knows that the seas were going to rise, so he just pushed the fucking yoke forward and that was it? Is that what you're saying? This guy worked on robots. He designed a device that discovered fucking hydrogen existed on Mars. How could that hurt? I remember I used to be in conspiracy theory. I still think that there are conspiracies, and I do think that, you know. I mean, I'm conspiring right now to try to somehow do some fucking hour and act like this is entertaining so you guys will listen to this shit, so you'll come out to my shows. This whole fucking thing doesn't even exist. And here you are listening to it, thinking you're hearing some sort of truth, right? Right there. I'm going to debunk all of these things. Why did he die? Because scientists are underpaid, and he didn't have so he couldn't afford a twin engine. So when this first one, cut out, he was kind of fucked. Sorry, I don't know. John Rogers, Tropica disease expert. Well, maybe he got too close to the disease. And if you see the size of his glasses, I think this is why. You know what these fucking scientists' problems are? Is they read too much. And they ruin their eyes. And then they start flying planes and they drive cars and they hit shit. You know what I mean? It's got to suck. You know what I mean? As your life is flashing before you in that split second, and then you know the exact way you're going to fucking die because you're an egghead scientist. So rather than me just flying towards a tree doing the MacGruber, no, 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 they're actually going to think, my brain is going to slam against the front of the cranial vortex. They can do all of that. Wonder if they're going to be brain dead. I mean, this is fucking morbid. All right, Glenn Thomas, AIDS and Ebola expert. Damn, why don't you just work with poisonous snakes while you're at it? Guy's sitting there juggling plagues while he's eating a Subway sandwich. No wonder let me guess, did he die of Ebola? And a spokesperson for the World Health Organization. Well, isn't that the trifecta? This guy just shuts everybody down at the dinner table. Maybe people were sick of him dominating the conversation. This is my husband, Glenn Thomas. He's an Ebola and AIDS expert. And when he's not doing that, he's a spokesperson for the World Health Organization. What do you do? I tell shit jokes in a strip mall. Ebola expert Glenn Thomas, who looks surprisingly like Chris Elliott, was among the 298 people who were killed when a Malaysian Airlines flight, MH17, was shot down and crashed in the UK. Well, what the fuck? Yeah. What about all the other people that died on there? I bet there was some plumbers, a couple of teachers. How come everybody's paying attention to the scientists? You know what all this shit comes from? It's the fact that everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody's got some secrets, right? And you know those people up there. Just the excitement they must have, you know, having the cures for diseases or whatever. Just the shit that they know. Like, say they, you know, they're talking about this giant fucking iceberg that's going to melt in Antarctica, that's going to raise the entire fucking ocean 8 feet, which I don't get. It's like, how fucking big is, at what point does it stop being a glacier? It's just all of Antarctica is melting. You know what I mean? And I don't understand how Antarctica, right? It's just all fucking ice, basically. You're sitting there floating in the fucking drink. You know, if you put ice cubes in your, this is where I'm really going to sound dumb here. If you put ice cubes in a glass of water, the water goes up. So isn't that ice already in the fucking water? I don't know what's going on. No, Bill, it's on land. Is it? Is there land underneath there? I don't know what it is. I just thought it was a bunch of frozen water. And the reason for this is the sun is hitting the tops. For my whole life, everybody told me the reason why. I'll ask you guys this. Do you know why it's hotter at the equator than it is at the poles? Do you know why? For my whole life, everybody said, well, it's because, you know, it's closer to the sun, you know, because it kind of puffs out, right? Like when you had too many donuts, Earth's got a little muffin top, you know? Got a lot of water weight down there. Like, so all of a sudden you're whatever. You're like this much closer to the sun. That's actually not the case. I'm just waiting for you guys to fucking yell at me. What basically is it's getting direct sunlight. And as the curvature of the earth goes up, that sunlight angle, it becomes more angled. And you're not taking it's basically, let's just put it in terms everybody can understand. The equator is getting a facial from the sun, okay? It's not wearing glasses either, okay? It's just taking it right in the face, all right? The poles are kind of looking away and like falling out of the way, right? That's basically what it is. So it's a glancing blow. They still got a little jizz in their hair, but it's a lot easier to wash off. And that's why it's hotter at the equator than it is in the North Pole. You see that, everybody? I'm smart. I know things not like everybody says. So anyways, let's get on. So how did Glenn Thomas die? It is understood he was one of more than 100 researchers who were aboard the flight on their way to an international AIDS conference in Australia. Oh, Jesus Christ. Wasn't it because there was some moron on the ground who couldn't tell the difference between an F-16 and a 747? Maybe he had a quota, you know, like those meter maids. They just got to start writing tickets. And it was getting towards the end of the month. He hadn't shot anything down yet. And he was just like, fuck it. I don't give a fuck. It's fucking up there moving. I don't give a shit. It's a fucking drone or a goddamn parakeet. I'm shooting that fucker down. And all of a sudden they come flying over. All right. Mark Ferry. Oh, Jesus. He had to grow up. Hey, you fucking fairy. He had to deal with that his whole life, this poor bastard. 59 years old, nuclear engineer. A renowned American engineer was found dead in his hotel room in Salford after his heart suddenly stopped working. Isn't that mysterious? Isn't that weird that somebody could have a heart attack at 59? This is the dumbest conspiracy ever. Mark Ferry, 59, from Tennessee. Well, there you go. He's from Tennessee. Grew up on fried food. Jesus Christ, they barely even have books in that state. The fact that this guy became a nuclear engineer growing up, you know he didn't have shoes, right? And he just sat there. He was just this fucking anomaly on his crickety front porch watching his whole fucking family playing instruments they made out of the fucking junk they had in their front yard. And he's just sitting there going, I'm better than this. God damn it, I'm going to start reading. And he did. Started reading like Johnny Appleseed. Except instead of walking, he was fucking letting his eyes walk. Walking all over those books. Turning them into applesauce. And that's what Mark Ferry did. I'm going to eulogize this guy. Mark Ferry wasn't dumb like the rest of us in this state. That motherfucker, I know him in church, I'm sorry, all right? I'm speaking from the heart here, okay? Jesus understands. That motherfucker, he said, I'm getting out of this state. All right, I'm going to find me a book. First of all, you know he had to go at least to Georgia to discover he was walking the wrong fucking way. You thought I was going to say something good about Georgia, didn't you? Fuck them. Fuck them Bulldogs, right? Go Vols. Go Vols. So this fucker said, wait a minute, I need to go up north. That's where they keep all the books, right? Because we lost one fucking war, they got to take away all the books. I get it. I get it. So he walks up to Ohio. And he found himself a fucking book. And next thing you know, he became a nuclear engineer. Now, I don't really know what that means, and I don't know what that does, but he did it. You're not going to believe what the fuck just happened. My stupid recorder got full. I fucking eulogized that guy for like another 5 minutes. God damn it. See, it's a conspiracy. They shut off your little recording thing. Let me finish this. I got to go back to this guy. Mark Ferry. So he walks up to fucking Ohio, gets himself a goddamn book, and he becomes a nuclear engineer. And as I mentioned before the fucking Illuminati shut off my fucking recorder, I don't really know what a nuclear engineer is. I just know it takes a long time to say it. So that's some smart shit. But I'll tell you, this Mark Ferry. All right, and I beat him up. I called him a fairy. I did all that. I never really even liked the guy, okay? Who the fuck's kidding who? I'm sorry, Martha. I had to say it. I'm in God's house. Got to tell the truth. Commandment number 7. Whatever it is. Fucking bitch. She deserves that. Well, see me outside. Anyways, this Mark Ferry, all right, despite him leaving Tennessee, he never forgot who the fuck he was. But I'll tell you right now, ain't nobody up north dies of a heart attack at 59. That is some southern shit. All right? You know why that is. You know why that is, because I don't give a fuck how far you leave Tennessee. You ain't leaving that diet. You ain't leaving that diet. Them briskets, them ham hock, them pig ear sandwiches. He probably had barbecue grease all over that lab coat. That's right, man. A real southern man. The only southern man that makes it to 60. If you make it to 60 as a southern man, I hate to, you're laying down with another man. I'm sorry to bring the homophobia into it. Well, that's true. According to the Bible. So there you go. There you go. Evidently, Mark Ferry was not a fairy because he died at 59. I blew somebody once at a truck stop, but I didn't do it in this state. So don't make it gay. Anyways, Mark Ferry, he's dead now. And I'll tell you right now, I don't think you're ever going to see another nuclear engineer coming from this state. You ain't going to see another one like that guy in a long, long fucking time. All right, so everybody raise up your jars. Let's do a shot of shine for Mark Ferry. My recorder's still going. It is still going. So basically what you guys missed is as I continued to read these fucking, like any conspiracy theory site, the more you start reading, you start believing. Professor Carol Ambruster, okay, she's 69 years old. 69, you think, she had a good run. She was found by her roommate in a kitchen, all right, with a knife in her neck, and she'd already been stabbed in the chest. So it's just like, that's usually not what's happening, you know. This other one had been hogtied and burned to death. It's like, what are these scientists fucking gangbanging now? You know what I mean? I'm starting to believe this shit. Here's one I actually believe. Shane Todd, 31. PhD in electrical engineering with an expertise with gallium nitride. Shane Todd, the man with two first names. All right? Here's the mystery. Dr. Todd felt increasingly uncomfortable with the work he was doing with the Chinese company Huawei. Huawei? Who the fuck are you? No, sorry, I can't. I'm sorry, I can't do that. Maybe if I did it in a bad Chinese accent, it would work. Huawei? Who the fuck are you? To the point Shane told his family, swear to God, Huawei. Huawei. Man, they must be cheesy commercials. Anyways, to the point Shane told his family that he was being asked to compromise U.S. security and he feared for his life. Now, this guy got whacked. Of course he did. What the fuck are you doing, dude? You're fucking, you're wearing the wrong fucking lab coat here. Melissa Canuti. Scientists have weird names. She was hogtied and burned. Now I'm starting to believe this shit. This guy, 58, died of a heart attack. Zachary died of a fucking boating accident. That happens, right? Potomac. Everybody's hammered on the fucking Potomac. Another heart attack. Heart attacks are dismissed. Here's a weird one. Fan Jun Mang and Cheng Yang Zhang. Swear to God. Cheng Yang Zhang. Table for two for Cheng Yang Zhang. Drowned in a Branson Hotel swimming pool. Both were in China. Both were from China and were working. Dude, how the fuck does two people drown? Two adults drown in a fucking hotel swimming pool. They don't even have deep ends anymore, right? All you got to do is stand up. I mean, I'm going to go, maybe they got drunk. It's like fucking two bouncy steps into the side. You got something to hang on to. Jesus Christ, I'm starting to believe this shit. Gregory Stone, 54. From an unknown illness. Well, that happens. Bradley, 56, died in a car crash. Well, you know, they're reading. They don't have good eyes. Dr. Masood Ali Mohammadi, 50, was assassinated January 11th when a remote-controlled bomb inside of his motorcycle near his car was detonated. I mean, that happens. That happened to a buddy of mine the other day. The professor of nuclear physics at Tehran University was politically active. Oh, yeah, this guy got whacked. You should see his picture, too. It's like he knows it's coming. Yep, got a couple more days left of this shit. Jack P. Wheeler, the third, 66, last seen December 30th, found dead in Delaware, a Delaware landfill. Yeah, he got whacked. Anytime you end up in a landfill. Fought to get the Vietnam Memorial built and was served in two Bush administrations. His death has been ruled a homicide. Yeah, of course it has. Christ, that guy's a fucking hero. That's a terrible one. This is a horrible website. I can't stop reading it. Mark A. Smith, 45. Dude, this guy looks like he's 90. That's 45. I'm a year older than that guy. Renowned Alzheimer's disease researcher has died after being hit by a car in Ohio. Is that suspicious? I don't know. I'm not even going to try to say this woman's name. She was dead of an apparent suicide by cyanide at a Temple Terrace hotel. She left a suicide note saying she used cyanide. Hazmat team officials said the cyanide was found only in a granular form, meaning it was not considered dangerous outside of the room it was found in. The chemical is considered more dangerous in a liquid or gas form. Potassium cyanide. The apparent cause of death is a chemically commonly used by... Well, I don't understand what the fuck that is. I mean, she said she used cyanide. It's fucking right there. Another woman died at the hands of Amy Bishop. Her background was in... Jesus, who would have thought it's so fucked? These guys are dying like Bloods and Crips here. Anyways, let's get to the enough of that shit. I don't even know what to believe anymore. I don't even know what to say anymore. What's going on? All right. Let's get to some of the questions here for the week. No. What am I doing? I want to get to some of the advertising. Trunk Club, everybody. Trunk Club. The first rule about Trunk Club is you don't buy any more fucking shirts. Trunk Club. Guys, you might hate shopping, but you still want to look good, right? You want to look good for the ladies, right? Or maybe you want to look good for the fellas. But either way, don't you want to look good? What if you could snap your fingers, hey, and have a trunk full of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look amazing? Where was this shit when I was a kid? You're going to love what gets delivered to you from Trunk Club. At trunkclub.com/burr, you answer a few simple questions about your look, your style, and size. And then they assign a real person who helps to style you. And don't lie about your size, people, or else you're going to have a bunch of tight jeans coming your way. Smuggling your grapes there. They email you a list of clothes they recommend sending you. You approve, and at no cost to you, they ship a trunk full of fresh new clothes to your door. Try them on, keep what you want, send back what you don't in their prepaid box. That's it. A better wardrobe than you could ever pick out yourself in minutes. Did I mention the service is free? Your stylist, the shopping, the box, even the shipping, all 100% free when you go to trunkclub.com/burr. Only pay for the clothes you keep. No ongoing subscriptions, no hidden charges, no fucking malls. Just great clothes, handpicked for your style. You know this is great too? This is great for cross-dressers who are still ashamed. You know what I mean? They could just deliver it to your door and be like, yeah, that's for my wife. You sign it. Then you get to fucking, you know, you get to try on a bunch of shoes. Here we go. You're going to thank me on this one. And now it's completely free. So go get started at trunkclub.com/burr today. That's trunkclub.com/burr. All right, here we go. The classic Dollar Shave Club, everybody. You heard me talking all about DollarShaveClub.com, the company that delivers amazing razors for just a few bucks. I know. A razor that costs a few bucks delivering... What? I know. A razor that costs a few bucks delivering a great shave seems too good to be true, right? Me reading that sentence correctly was too good to be true. But you really have to try the razors. The DollarShaveClub.com razors give me the most amazing shave I've had in years. Don't pay triple the price when you can get a fantastic shave delivered for just a couple of dollars. Look at this. You're getting clothes delivered. You fucking shave. You're out the door. You have to be an idiot to keep overpaying. All right? I am a massive celebrity. And I'm constantly getting my picture taken by the paparazzi. Who's this copy supposed to be for? Does Jennifer Aniston have a fucking... podcast? Why would she get Dr. Carvey? Why would she get this shit? To shave a fucking diva? Oh, what an image that is. Anyways, don't pay triple the price when you can get a fantastic shave delivered for just a couple of dollars. You'd have to be an idiot to keep overpaying. I already read this shit. You have to be an idiot to read shit you already read. Don't be fooled by the price. These razors are legit and they will never go back. What? And you will never go back. Plus... they got Dr. Carvey's Easy Shave Butter. It's phenomenal. If you're still using old-fashioned shaving cream, you're a loser, and I feel bad for you. Try DollarShaveClub.com/burr today to get started. You wish you had started sooner. That's DollarShaveClub.com/burr, DollarShaveClub.com/burr. All right, we got to do one more. People, this is – I'd love to say – I think this is... I want to blame the booze on this one. I can't fucking get through this here. Shake it off. Give me a fucking mouth about this. All right, DraftKings, everybody. The wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official fantasy partner, daily fantasy partner of the Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait until the end of the season to claim victory when you can win huge cash every day? Let's fast forward this shit, huh? At DraftKings.com, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers and eight positional players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. I think that's cool. You got to stay under the salary cap. You feel like a real GM there, don't you? Last year, Peter, here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the money trail. Peter from Colorado won $1 million $1 million, Jesus, at DraftKings in one day, just playing fantasy baseball. He later was found with a knife in his neck. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already won cash at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Call to action. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code DEFENSE, D-E-F-E-N-S-E, to play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code DEFENSE for free now at DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com right there. All right. There you go. Let's get back to the bullshit here. Do you guys have a nice Easter? I had an awesome Easter. My mother-in-law came over, right? And she actually wanted to go to brunch, okay? And I was just like, oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. I thought this was a day of celebration. Why would you drag us into the hell of brunch on fucking Easter? Are you out of your mind? Right? This is how cool my wife is. I just say to her, she goes, do you want to go to brunch with me and my mother on Easter? I was like, no, I don't. I don't want to do that. Why don't we go drinking on St. Patrick's Day? Why don't we go out on New Year's and go to Times Square? The fuck are we doing here? She's like, I know. That's right. I go, why don't we just have brunch at home? I'll make some eggs. I'll throw in some fucking waffles. Whatever you want, I'll cook it, right? She goes, I got one better for you. Why don't we just order some fucking Chinese food? That's what we did. Chinese food on Easter. Don't Jewish people eat Chinese food on Christmas? I got to tell you, I loved it on Easter. Why stop on Christmas? Those Jews, I'm telling you, they're onto something. This fucking Chinese food on Christian holidays, I'm all about it, dude. It was awesome. We had, what did we have there? We had, I don't know what the fuck. We had crab rangoon, all that deep fried shit that's fucking sloshing around in my belly right now. It was tremendous. And then she showed up with a lemon meringue pie. And that was my Easter. No bunny. Right? No fucking going down to church and you got to listen to the Jesus story over and fucking over again. You know what I mean? It's such an amazing story. You'd think that they could make a good movie about it. You know what I mean? I mean, technically it should be better than all of those Bourne Identities, but it isn't. I don't know what they need. They should make just, you know, if I look, the Catholic Church is, who's kidding who? It's sliding down a grease pole. You know, nobody's buying, nobody's going anymore. All right. It's like the Jacksonville Jaguars of fucking religions, as far as, you know, old stadium, nobody's showing up, plenty of seats. What do you want to sit down front? Get it. You got it. It's all you. Right? You can hang out with the fucking players afterwards. So what I would do is I would invent like the iCatholic Church, you know, just rip off Apple to get these kids. You get flat screens in there, right? You get Tupac, whatever they did to him, where he became the homogenized version. What the fuck is it? The holograph. What the hell is it? It begins with an H. A holograph. A holilocue. Whatever the fuck it is. You do that, but you just do it with the priest. You have some of the best priests of all time. The Tupacs, the fucking Biggie Smalls of priests. And you bring them back to life. Just like, fuck it. You just bring Jesus back. That's what you do. You have him up there, right? He comes down from the fucking all pixelated, coming down from the ceiling. You know what I mean? And people don't believe it's him at first. Did you fucking make that? You shoot that with a potato? Laughing my ass off on the floor over here, shaking my head. That guy, you know, you got to take a little shit from the Twitterazzi, right? And then all of a sudden you just keep saying, no, that's actually Jesus, right? And if you watch that thing on Scientology like I did, you know what I mean? What you learn, other than the fact that it just takes 2,600 lawsuits at the same time and the IRS will cave. That's the only thing I learned. Other than that is that they dress like they're in Buck Rogers, which is, you know, it's kind of cool, right? I'm into space movies now. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. You get some flat screens, right? You get some Chinese food. You go easy with the guilt. And you bring them back, you know? And you try as hard as you can to not fuck any more children. And I think he could turn this business around. This is like that. What is that? What is that show where the guy comes in and he tries to fix your bar? What's it called? Bar fixer? Huh? Dive doctor? Whatever the fuck that is. Some stupid name, right? He comes in. Your fucking beer tap smell like my wife's vagina on July when she gets off an elliptical. Right? Just screaming at people about their dumbass bars. You just got to do that with the Catholic Church. You just go in there screaming, why is that guy fucking a child? Right? And you turn the whole fucking thing around. What would it be? It's got to be alliteration, like Christ Fixer, but it's got to be with another C. Cry. Christ Crier. Jesus Jamming. I don't know what the fuck you'd call it. Christian Mingle. How bad is that? Christian Mingle. How fucking creepy is Mingle? Let's get on here and mingle. I really want to see your tits. It just seems like you'd just be mumbling a bunch of shit. I want to see your tits. I'm fucking three-way. Sorry. All right, here we go. Let's read some of the fucking questions here for this week, shall we? Well, I don't give a shit. I'm running shit, okay? By the way, if you'd like to email me, if you'd like to hear me read out loud something that you wrote and butcher it, emails can be sent to bill@themmpodcast.com. If you would like to follow us on Twitter, you can go to @themmpodcast. All right, here we go.
Here we go. All right. Okay, it's going to be a rough one here. Okay.
All right. Is my husband too cheap? Dear Bill, I'm a 34-year-old fucking lady and have been married for 6 years. I'm hoping you can help me with some advice on my marriage. For the most part, my husband and I are pretty similar, but we have completely different outlooks on finances. Already, I'm already thinking sexist shit here, so I got to stop. All right? I'm picturing you just buying a bunch of dumb shit that, and you're driving him to an early grave. But let's see. Maybe this guy is a cunt. Gonna be open-minded here. All right? Open-minded. All right. My husband works full-time, and I work part-time myself, My husband works full-time, and I work part-time myself, and am a housewife. I swear to God, that's how she wrote the sentence. Should be, and I am a housewife, and am a housewife. You never have fucking three short words that begin with A in a row. Myself, and am a housewife, and am a. And am a housewife. That sounds good. My husband works full-time, and I work part-time myself, and am a housewife. I get it. You fucking spoke this into a speaker, right? That little magic device on your phone. Early in our marriage, we both worked full-time. But it became difficult for me when I would clean the house on days off and he would not be helpful in sharing those duties. Oh, this guy's old school. Lifting his feet up as you come by with the fucking Swifter. he would just play video games. And I'm not a clean freak or anything. I just don't like living in a shit show of a house. Oh, my God. I fucking love this woman. You're right up my alley. Before we were married, he would let dirty laundry pile up for weeks before he washed it. Jesus Christ, this guy's an animal. I probably should have spoke to him about it. Spoke to him about that before we got married or lived together first, but I did not see it as a huge issue at a time. Oh, you were young. What did you know? Anyways, after a year of marriage, we decided that the best way would be for me to do the housework and work part-time and make dinners while he worked full-time. Ugh, Jesus Christ, this fucking guy is crushing it. You know, he's got an old school wife here. Listen, you quit your dream. I'll live mine. When I come home, you better have this place tidy with the fucking steak on the table. All right. Here is the issue with our marriage, and I would love your opinion. This is where if I was her girlfriend, we'd be clasping both of our hands across the table. This is what I need you, okay? Oh, I'm here for you, Karen. I'm here for you. Just get it out. My husband is very conservative with our money. This guy doesn't have one redeeming fucking thing. He's a slob. He's a fucking tightwad. I hate this guy. He will save and keep our 20 grand in our finances for any... Well, that's smart, though. I don't know. He is kind of smart. He will save and keep our $20,000 in our finances for anything that could happen. I admire it and think it's very smart. However, he loses sleep over it, and we rarely will go out and do anything together as a couple. Yeah, this guy's... He's
taking it too far, all right?
We make enough money between the two of us to pay our bills and save, mind you. Hey, you don't got to fucking reprimand me. He gives me a some amount allowance every month to buy groceries and other personal items. If I use another card, he will confront me and tell me not to use the other debit card. And if I am low on funds for groceries, we need to buy ramen for the rest of the month. All of our arguments are about money. I believe in saving money, but at the same time, I think it's great to live a little and buy items for enjoyment from time to time. I love to go out somewhere fun. I'd love to go out somewhere fun on a date. Oh my God, dude, this is sad. With my husband, without him worrying about money the whole time. I can't buy concert tickets without asking him first to surprise him. Like, this guy is fucking... Likewise, he never surprises me with anything either. If this thing ends with you on your fucking hands and knees scrubbing the floorboards because he wouldn't even buy you a fucking Swiftie, what should I do? I've confronted him about how I think his fear is unhealthy. Am I wrong? I'm telling you.
She goes, I'm telling you, it's a rough one, okay?
I love it. I love that you threw that in there. She's got a sense of humor. I think this woman's cool. Thanks. I love your comedy. Listen to your podcast every week. Go fuck yourself. All right. Yeah, this woman's a fucking champ. The amount of shit she's putting up with. All right. She's got a sense of humor. She's listening to the podcast. Or maybe she's snowing me. I think you're totally cool. Yeah, this guy needs to fucking, he needs to relax. I don't know. What would you do here? Just say, look, something's got to change here. All right. Cause I haven't been to a fucking Cheesecake Factory in like 9 years. All right. You got to take me. This guy, you know what it is? He doesn't understand women. He doesn't get it. You guys like to go out. All right. And I think you're cool enough that you don't. Well, who the fuck doesn't like to go out? That's such a dumb thing I just said. I'm too stupid to explain it, but I totally get where you're at. This guy needs to take you out. All right. He needs to remind you why you guys fell in love. He needs to, you know, just go every once in a while. Just say, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go out and just blow fucking a couple $100 on a meal. Right? That's it. And then we just, Jesus Christ, if you spend too much money, it's ramen noodles. I mean, this guy, it's like, this guy sounds like he grew up during the Depression. And you're nice enough to admire that he thinks about fucking money. You got 20 grand saved up, which is better than most people. He could just loosen the purse strings. Let a couple of nuggets fall out once every 6 weeks, for Christ's sake. What do you do there? How do you go about that? I don't know, a tightwad, that's a tough one, man. A cheap guy is just a cheap person. They're just fucking cheap. That's like you're not even going to enjoy life, for Christ's sake. I think you got to start roofing them. I hate to say it, but, you know, every once in a while, the date rape drug is called for. I think you need to fucking, this is what I would do. Nah, you can't do that. So you can't do that. That's fucking, I'd say I would just fucking give him the date rape drug. Let him pass out at the table, and then I would just go out and booze it up, and then I'd come home, and he'd be like, and he'd just be like, "Did I fall asleep at the kitchen table again last night?" Yeah, you did. It was weird. It was like you were eating the ramen noodles. you went face down in it. I'll tell you, thank God you're too cheap to boil water, and that water was at fucking room temperature. You might have burned your face. You either got to roofie him, or you got to just say, listen, I need to go out. Okay, I can't keep living like some fucking broad in a fucking miserable fairy tale that's waiting for fucking Prince Charming to show up. All right, here's the deal, fucko. Once a month, you're taking me out. All right? You're making me feel like a fucking lady. You're making me feel attractive. All right? Or I'm going to start fucking working again. I'm sitting here watching your sweaty balls fucking underwear. And you can't even take me to a goddamn Chuck E. Cheese? Huh? You cheap cunt? I don't know how to do it. You know what? Maybe he's listening to this. Dude, take her out for Christ's sake. All right? Listen, the dollar's going to collapse anyway. See, a 20 grand isn't going to be worth shit. So why don't you go out and fucking buy a pork chop with it while you still can? There you go. All right, here we go. Fear of damnation. Dear Bill, growing up Catholic, oh, Jesus, my parents instilled me with a healthy fear of damnation. Like so many others, as I got older, I grew away from the church. But the fear of going to hell was never far from my mind. This is why it's funny that everybody made fun of the fucking Scientology movie. Just say it, it's a cult. Those people are fucking crazy. As opposed to what? The shit we're doing? I love Scientology for the simple fact that they sued the fucking IRS and they went, all right, all right, all right. Jesus Christ, these people are crazy. They beat the IRS. That goes a long fucking way. All right, a couple of kids die every year due to the common cold. But other than that, I think it's a good religion. Over the course of my life, I've had many opportunities to wrong others. Some were out of necessity and some due to my own greed or poor judgment. Jesus, this took a fucking left turn. Did I miss a paragraph? I lie awake at night with the details of each sin running through my mind, how it affected those people I hurt and what their lives would be like had I never altered it with my own destructive presence. What the fuck did you do to these people? This guy sounds like a worse person than me. The sins weigh on me, as they should, and I wondered if I'm going to burn in hell for the things I've done or if I could possibly turn it all around. The Bible provides some details about the afterlife, but doesn't get too specific about how each person is... But it doesn't get too specific about how each person is tormented when they reach hell. Well, don't ever read Dante's Inferno. You don't want to read that. My biggest fear is that after I die, I would arrive, and while burning in the eternal fire, your podcast would be playing on a loop. Ah, that's fucking hilarious. Please help me. I'll do anything. Give to charity, save a puppy, whatever it takes. I have to redeem myself somehow so I won't have to hear your voice yammering on about the NFL and cackling at your own jokes forever. Ah, you got me, you son of a bitch. That's fucking hilarious. All right. Icebreaker. Bill, I'm terrible at starting a conversation with the girl. I'm good in an actual conversation. I'm wondering why that guy, why don't you just not listen to the podcast? You know what I mean? Maybe he listened to one and I was so fucking annoying. Or, you know what's even better? Maybe he works with somebody and they played in like the warehouse. Dude, I'm sorry. I know I'm annoying. I can't argue with anything you said. Icebreaker. Bill, I'm terrible at starting a conversation with a girl. I'm good in an actual conversation. What does that mean? Oh, okay. So you can just like if someone says, hey, welcome to fucking Denny's. Can I help you? You're like, yeah, I'd like pigs in a blanket. Dude, I'm crushing that shit. Anyways, I'm good in actual conversation, but I rarely get there because it starts off bad. What advice can you offer? Do you have any lines or topics that would work? Thanks and go fuck yourself. Dude, you're just going to have to learn to have a sense of humor about yourself. You're going to have to fucking bomb. You're just going to have to go up and bomb. There's no fucking, hey, baby, what's your sign line that works. You got to just come up. Here's the thing. If you're not good at hitting on women, don't go to a fucking meat market. All right? What you got to do is you got to chat them up while you're just doing, Jesus, dude, it's been so long since I've been fucking singing. I was never good in the meat market bars. I was always better. Like, I met women on the train. I met them in, like, the fucking gym. I met them, like when we were doing, like, we're both riding on a fucking train. You know what I mean? And there's no, they have their guard up. I guess that you're not going to be a mugger. What the fuck would I do? How would I talk to him on a train? I would just wait for someone. If I saw someone that I liked on a train, the only way I could start up a fucking conversation is if some crazy homeless guy got on the fucking you know, some crazy person got on the subway and everybody's got that, oh shit. And then you make eye contact with them. And then I always had a joke about the fucking homeless guy. That's right. I took the piss out of somebody who didn't have a house and that would break the ice. And then maybe, you know, you're on the subway. It's like speed dating. You got to try to get the fucking number before they get off. But if you're not good at conversation, you got to get good at it. And, I would say the gym. Gym's kind of creepy. Hey, what are you working on? You know, she's fucking bent over, doing bent over rows, whatever the fuck it is. The only advice I have you, it's just like doing stand-up. You just have to get on stage and you have to figure it out. So that's what I would do. I would get over your fear of bombing by getting out there and just bombing and have a sense of humor about how fucking bad it's going. Laugh at yourself and just keep swinging away. Just keep swinging away. I don't know. Just go Ron Burgundy. Just be like overly arrogant about yourself, how fucking awesome you are, and just say you know that she's thinking all this awesome shit about you. You know, if you're an average looking guy, she'll think it's fucking hilarious and you're kind of taking the piss out of yourself. There's that angle. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't fucking know. You gonna ask a married guy? I have no fucking idea anymore. Somebody help this guy. Hey, you know what? Why don't you guys send me in your best icebreaker lines? And the only one I think I ever had a good opening fucking line was when I wanted to hit on this woman who was, I already told you this, I wanted to hit on this woman who was with this woman who was a redhead. And I walked up, what did I say? I said, I go, oh, hey, another redhead. I go, you going to the meeting? And then a friend laughed. And then the redhead thought I was into her. And I had to do like, you know, that swim move that rushers do when they're trying to get to the quarterback. I had to fucking push her out of the way and talk to the brunette. And then she was like fucking annoyed that I was hitting on her. And then her friend, I think, caved to the pressure of her cunty friend. Or maybe she just looked at me like, I don't want to fucking talk to you. I made her laugh, though. I got one laugh. I think I got one laugh. In all my years in those meat market bars. Ah, they're fucking horrible. Fucking horrible. You know what, dude? I don't know. You're asking another person that stunk at it. I can't help you. So how about listeners? Give me your best and your worst fucking opening lines. Your best and your worst results. And I'll read those next week or whatever. And with any luck, that guy who hates me, someone will be playing it in the fucking background. Neighborhood bully. Hey, Billy Bag of Donuts. Hey, Bill, I am 15 years old, and I want to know how to deal with the kid who is bullying my 6-year-old brother. Well, go fuck him up. Step on his head. We live in a cul-de-sac, and all the neighborhood kids know each other. They often play at the end of the cul-de-sac in somebody's backyard. I just recently learned that my friend's brother sometimes brings over a friend who's 7 years old, and this kid goes over to the backyard at the end of the cul-de-sac without the person who brought him and starts playing with the kids who belong to the neighborhood. Jesus Christ, isn't that just called kids playing with each other? Now it's all supervised. The problem is that the kid is an asshole. He calls my brother names for no reason. I know my younger brother isn't lying based on his body language. Now I need your advice on what I should do. I told my brother to come get me so I could come over and talk to him. I was going to be as intimidating as possible without yelling or being threatening by completely keeping my calm And emotionless as he tried. Wait a minute. What the fuck just happened to this sentence? I was going to be as intimidating as possible without yelling or being threatening by keeping completely calm and emotionless as he tried to bust my balls. Wait, what the fuck happens with that sentence? That was in the past and in the present. You tried to do that and then he bust your balls? I don't know what's going on here. I don't necessarily know if this is a good idea. I was looking for advice. Should I tell my friend's mom so this little shit can never come back? Thanks and go fuck yourself. P.S. If you are reading this on Friday, April 3rd, it's my birthday. I'm not reading it Friday, April 3rd, but happy belated birthday. All right. That fucking email was in like 12 different time zones. So what should you do? I don't know. Just walk up to him. You're 15. He's 7. Hey, you. You know what's great about that age? If you catch him off guard with a hey, they might piss themselves a little bit. You just walk up right behind him. You just go, hey, like that. Like he fucking pees himself. He turns, hey, can I talk to you? They'd be, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Be like, hey, that's my little brother over there. He's telling me you keep calling him bad names. What's going on with that? I mean, just let him sit in the awkward silence. And then when he tells you why he's doing it, just say, look, if you keep doing that to my brother, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I just keep picturing my entire hand covering your face and then me throwing your whole body like a baseball over that fucking fence. You don't want me to do that because you weigh enough where you might land on top of the fence. And that could poke into your innards there. Do you want me to do that? Because I don't want to do that. All right? Well, then stop fucking with my brother, you little shit. That's what you do. I don't know. Don't do that. You have to be an adult. You have to go over to that fucking kid's awful mom and say, hey, can you fucking, you know, your awful fucking kid. I know you're a single parent. That's why your kid stinks. All right, LegalZoom, everybody. LegalZoom. Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Ready? Number one, reliability. More than 1 million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help start their business. If you're looking to incorporate, form an LLC or nonprofit, get a DBA or more, LegalZoom can help you get started the right way. Number two, experience. They've been helping business owners and legal challenges. What? They've been helping business owners with legal challenges for more than a decade. You can count on LegalZoom for all the details. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people on hand to answer your questions, all based in the United States. Oh, Jesus Christ, where's that going? Number four, legal advice. Since they're not a law firm, LegalZoom built a network of independent attorneys available in most states. They can give advice on the best way to get started, plus provide contract review and other useful services to help you run your business. And finally, number five, no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews, and they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. All right? They have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business at LegalZoom.com today. And don't forget to enter Burr, B-U-R-R, at the checkout to save even more. LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, Stamps.com, everybody. Stamps.com, everyone, makes mailing and shipping so convenient and saves you time and money. Buy and print official U.S. postage right from your computer. And once you try it, you won't go back to making time-consuming trips to the post office. To get you started, Stamps.com has a special offer for my listeners. Just use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, to get a no-risk trial. So there's nothing to lose, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale that calculates exact postage for letters and packages. No guesswork, and up to $55 free postage. Stamps.com is easy to use. Print postage for your letters or packages right from your desk, then just hand them to your mailman. Over 500,000 small businesses are using Stamps.com, and you should too. I use Stamps.com. I'm going to be sending them out. I'm going to use Stamps.com to send out my Billy Bible Belt Tour posters for the big tour coming up. Oh, really big shoe. And if I'm a moron, if I can do it, you can do it too. If I can figure out how to use the scale and all that shit. Remember, for my special offer, go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. All right, that is it for that. Mercifully, the reading out loud portion is fucking over. All right, don't save. Let's click over here. Let's read the last couple here. The last one. 20-year-old blonde female request. All right, that's already annoying because you feel like what? Why do I need to know you're a blonde female and how old you are? Huh? You trying to get preferential treatment here, lady? No. Okay, Bill, my boyfriend and I absolutely love your podcast. You're our favorite comedian, yada, yada, yada. Could you ask, I'm not going to say the name, in your next podcast to marry me, and I'm not saying your name. Go fuck yourself, love this person. P.S., when are you coming to Portland, Oregon? I'm going to be coming to Portland in June. I'm putting together another little bus run that will include, it's going to be Portland, Oregon, Eureka. Oh, sorry. Sorry to people in Oregon. I just fucked up. Portland, Oregon, Eureka, California. Where else? Fresno. Why don't I just fucking look it up here? It's all going to tie into that Vegas tour. Then I think we end up somewhere in Tucson. It's going to be great. It's going to be me and Joe Bartnick. And I think I'm going to get Lawhead on a couple of those fuckers, too. It's going to be a great time. So anyways, as far as me, will I ask your boyfriend to marry you? No. Why would I ever do that to another man? First of all, you're only 20 years old. You're too young to get married. All right? And as a guy, like the amount of guy code I would be breaking to put this guy in that fucking position, there's no fucking way I would ever do that. You know what I mean? And since I've been married, I've never been that person that said to a couple that isn't married, you know, when they do, how long you guys been together? Ah, when I got married. We have kids. When are you having kids? When you shut the fuck up. That's when we're having kids. All right. That is the podcast for this week, everybody. Congratulations to the Wisconsin Badgers and the Duke Blue Devils. I'm hoping for a great game tonight, and my condolences to the fans of Kentucky and Michigan State. I watched both of those games. You know me. I'm a fucking – I love college hoop, but I'm a fair weather fan, man. I watch a lot of hockey, and then this time of year I always jump in. And I jump in I just watched the final four games, and then I watched the final. That's all I do, so I don't know what to tell you. All right? I'm a bandwagon guy. I am showing up with a brand-new Final Four fucking hat tonight. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to watch it over a buddy of mine's house, actually a Duke Blue Devil fan. So I don't know who I want to win this one. I like Coach K winning another one just so he can become more of a legend. But I'm trying. Hey, let me look this up. When's the last time Wisconsin won a fucking championship? Wisconsin, how do you spell it? Wisconsin, how do you smell it? Wisconsin, stop eating fucking cheese. Last basketball. Why don't I put the fucking microphone down so I can type faster? Last basketball. You guys can get on with your day at this point. This is just for me. Championship. There's some fat guy driving a Chevy Love somewhere in fucking Rhinelander right now with a big red jacket on screaming. College basketball, Badgers men's basketball. All right, here we go. Here it is. Wikipedia. We're going to go on Wikipedia. I'm going to guess that they won it in the 1950s. Let me see. All right, what do we got here? NCAA tournament champions. They won in 1941. They made it to the Final Four in 1941, 2000, 2014, and 2015. They're crushing it this century. The Elite Eight, 41, 47, 2000, 2005. Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. They haven't won it since fuck Hitler was still alive the last time these guys won. I got to root for them. I got to root for the underdogs. Wham, 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 wham. All right, so I'm going to root for the Badgers tonight. Although I like both teams. I don't give a fuck. I have weird allegiance. You know, I'm one of those people. I like Ohio State and Michigan all at the same time because, you know, I'm not from either state. I don't give a fuck. I just want to see a good game. And I'm really happy that that fucking guy with Bill Clinton hips is now coaching fucking Michigan. The fuck's his name? Captain Comeback there. John Wesley Harding. I can't remember anybody's name. His brother coaches the Ravens and thinks there's not enough air in the balls, and that's why he fucking loses. Jim Fassel. I don't fucking... Jerry Tarkanian? I have no idea. All right, that's the podcast for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This week, old Freckles is coming to Florida. Florida is not part of the South. Don't ever forget that. Florida is Florida. Texas is Texas. The South is the South. I am going to be... April 10th. I'm doing two shows at the Fillmore in Miami Beach, and I'm doing two shows April 11th at Ruth Eckerd Hall in Tampa. And there you go. And then I come back for a couple days, and then the Bible Belt Tour starts, kicking it off. Can't fucking wait. Oh, this is going to be a fun month. April 18th, Savannah, Georgia, right? Savannah, Georgia. 19th, we go up to Johnny Knoxville, Tennessee. April 20th, Chattanooga, Tennessee. April 21st, Memphis, Tennessee. Right? April 22nd, Shreveport, Louisiana. April 23rd, New Orleans. We hang there for a couple of days. Get shitty. Get sideways. We get back on the bus. April 26th, Huntsville, Alabama. The fuck are you looking at? Then we drive back April 27th to Jackson, Mississippi. April 28th, we go to Mobile, Alabama. Get the fuck out of here. I didn't know I was going there. Holy shit. Holy shit. The fuck song is that? I don't even know what the hell it is. Who's that fucking guy? If you want to, you know something? I actually feel bad for that guy that doesn't like that I laugh at my jokes, because there's that rapper who laughs at his shit and he drives me up the fucking wall too. Who's that guy where he's like, and I agree. That fucking idiot. He does that shit, but I'm still looking at her titties. Just like, okay, dude, look at her titties. Like, I don't know what you're snickering about. Mobile, Alabama, man, they built all those fucking ships in World War II. I learned that watching that Ken Burns documentary. Wow. Mobile, Alabama, that's fucking legendary. Then we're driving up to Lexington, Kentucky. Oh, my God, this is going to be the sickest fucking tour ever. And then we go to Evansville, Indiana. And then May 2nd, we go to the Kentucky Derby. All right, go fuck yourselves. Come on. It's tremendous. So anyways, that is the podcast. And you know what? I'll do a little preview here. A little preview of my other tour in June. You guys don't have to listen to it. The podcast, it's over, man. You just listen to me fucking talking to myself in my apartment at this point. All right. None of these are confirmed, except for the Vegas date. All right. But rumor has it. All right. I heard a rumor that Bill Burr is going to be in Portland, Oregon. Going to be in Eureka, California. I got a Reno date, possibly. Santa Rosa, San Jose, Fresno, Bakersfield, Highland. And then I'm definitely doing two nights in Vegas at the Mirage Casino, and then Tucson, Arizona. This is the idea that we're trying to put this fucking thing together. And I go on there with Joe Bartnick, and then he's going to have to jump off the bus to go do a couple dates with Verzi, and then I'm going to get Lawhead on a couple of those. That is the game plan as this comes together. So anyways, I'm babbling here. Whatever. Fucking enjoying myself this week. I went a little bit long. Go fuck yourselves. This is the Monday Morning Podcast. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.